Our scripture reading today comes from Luke. As Jesus came to Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting beside the road begging. When the man heard the crowd passing by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus the Nazarene is passing by." The blind man shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Those leading the procession scolded him, telling him to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." Jesus stopped and called for the man to be brought to him. When he was present, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." At once he was able to see and began to follow Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God too. The word of God for the people of God.
There was this psychiatrist convention that was happening, and a couple psychiatrists had gotten together and were having coffee, and one of them said to the other, "What was your most difficult case?" And the other thought for a moment, and he said, "You know, once I had a patient who lived in a pure fantasy world. He believed that a wildly rich uncle in South America was going to leave him a fortune. And so every day he waited at home by the mailbox for this make-believe letter to arrive from a fictitious attorney. He never went out and did anything. Every day he waited for the mail, never did anything else." And the other psychiatrist said, "Well, what was the result?" And he said, "I'll tell you, it was an 8-year struggle, but I finally cured him. And then that stupid letter arrived." I don't know if any of you all have gotten an email from a prince or princess off in another country that had fallen into some money and needed help getting it through the United States, and asked if you might help with that, but something that that they were hoping and dreaming for. The scripture that Sharon read today is about a man who was hoping and dreaming for something, hoping that one day he would be able to see. And you know what? It was a crazy dream for him. At least that's probably what his friend said, because everybody knew in Jesus' time that someone with vision problems did not spontaneously regain their sight. There was no Dr. Tim Young for them to go see and have their vision fixed in first century Judea. And even if there were eye doctors like that, this was a blind beggar. I mean, he didn't even have pockets in his tunic to put his insurance card in. There was nobody that was going to see him and take care of him. We don't even know his name. Now, if you look at this same story in the Gospel of Mark, he gives him a name. His name is Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. But he's a nobody, a blind beggar sitting beside the road, the object of people's pity and I'm sure their scorn. But one day, someone told him that a man named Jesus would be passing by, a man who had a reputation for helping those who were in distress. So in an act of desperation and faith, this blind beggar began crying out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." And the people who were in the procession and people around him tried to shush him and quiet him down, but the more they tried to quiet him down, the louder he became, "Son of David, show me mercy." Have any of you ever done that before? Have you ever called out to Jesus, "Show me mercy"? Maybe it was in a crisis. Maybe late at night the phone rang and it was the police and one of your kids had really messed up. Or maybe the phone rang and it was the doctor and he said, "I've seen something odd in your scan." Or your marriage was in trouble and you thought all hope was lost. And like that blind beggar on the side of the road, you called out, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." Not long ago, I was reading a book by an author and speaker named Antoinette Bosco. If you're not familiar with her, I would encourage you to read some of her books. In her first book, she tells of the difficulties she had in her early life. She was the daughter of an immigrant from southern Italy, and they had a very strict family, and she'd been raised in poverty, very limited opportunities in her life. Her father arranged a marriage for her, but the marriage failed and left her to raise and support her large family of seven children, all on her own. And then her life took some hard turns. Over a period of 1 year, her oldest son, Paul, had a blood vessel burst in the retina of his eye and left him blind in that eye. Two of her grandchildren that were 2 and 4 years old were in a near-fatal automobile accident. In that same year, her son Sterling suffered 3 heart attacks. And then that year, on March the 18th, 1991, her youngest son, Peter, who was 27 years old and had battled chronic depression for 10 years, walked to a pond about a mile from their house, a place where he used to go and meditate, and it was there that he took his own life. At first, Antoinette thought that she would die too. She never believed she could survive the death of one of her own children. Yet from somewhere, she found strength and continued on. But 2 years after Peter's self-inflicted death, another blow came that almost crushed her life and faith. She received the terrible news that her son John, who was a cabinet maker and played the violin, and his wife Nancy, a woman who loved to read poetry and farm at their home, they'd been found in bed, murdered by an intruder. In her pain, she remembered telling herself, "I can't get up," with an emphasis on the word can't. And then from somewhere far away, she remembered reading a line that said, "If you think you can't, you're right." And the reality of that sentence shook her, and she knew at that moment that if she didn't get up that morning, she'd be stuck in her pain and she'd be lost. It was at that moment she chose to live. Now, she just said that everything didn't automatically get better. She struggled to find strength that would put her on the road to healing and finding peace. Somehow, by the grace of God, and she said she prayed like mad for strength, but somehow she got up and went on with her life. Today, she's a respected author of several books, including Finding Peace Through Pain, Hanging in There When God Seems Far Away, and Miracles Abound when we open our hearts to God. I wondered if maybe that blind beggar heard a voice that said to him, "If you think you can't, you're right. If you don't get up and get help now, you'll never have that opportunity again." And so he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." And somehow over the noise of the crowd, and we've talked about that before, how Jesus was perceptive to the needs of the people around him, but somehow over the noise of the crowd, Jesus heard that blind man yelling. And he stopped and he said to his disciples, he said, "Call him over here." And so they called to the blind man. I mean, they must have said something like, "Hey, it's your lucky day. Get up. Jesus wants to see you." And the blind beggar decided that he didn't want to be stuck in that pain anymore. You and I, we see that all the time. People who remain stuck in their pain. The rejected spouse who won't let go of the rage they feel toward their ex, or the widow or the widower who won't let go of grief following the loss of their spouse. Parents who can't cope with a debilitating or deadly disease of one of their children, and so they take it out on each other instead of leaning on each other for support. And we can sympathize with that. We know we can't feel the pain that they feel because we haven't gone through the same things. But there comes a time when we, for our own well-being and for the well-being of those around us, have to get to our feet and come to Jesus for healing in our hearts. Dr. Antoinette Bosco, what she said in that first book was when the reaction to the blows of this life is serious depression, anger, defeat, fear, or even a kind of comfort in feeling sorry for yourself, you will stay in a lifeless hell unless you force yourself to get unstuck and go on with life. And when people said to Dr. Bosco, who had suffered so much, when they asked her, "How do you overcome these obstacles?" she always responds by saying that she can only speak for herself in her personal journey, but what she found is that pain is permanent. But that doesn't mean you have to translate pain into permanent suffering. She says there's a difference in that. And she writes, "We don't ask for pain, and it hurts terribly. But we truly are in control of what we do with our pain. We can fight it and continually suffer, or we can accept it and learn from it." And when she talks about the single most important lesson of all, she says that healing begins with love and with compassion for others. She goes on to write that the essential to moving on is action. Focus outward, not inward. Action is crucial. Do something, anything, to touch the world again. That blind beggar by the side of the road, he had to have understood that Jesus was passing by, and this was his moment to leap into action. And so he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a simple question, "What do you want me to do for you?" That blind beggar said, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." And immediately the Gospel of Luke tells us he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. That's a great story. We love stories like that. Instantly, this blind man received his sight and went along the road following Jesus. For several years, my family was involved in mission trips in Reynosa, Mexico, just across the border from McAllen. And because we kept going back to the same churches over and over again, we began to form these wonderful relationships with the folks in the Methodist churches along the border in Mexico. We've even been to a quinceañera of one of the pastor's daughters there. At one of those churches, there was a young boy, Marco, and he was born with spina bifida. One year, our group was able to get a new wheelchair for him, and that made it easier for him to get around. But his condition worsened. There was a man on our missions team with a great heart for helping others. And there was a doctor on our missions team from Texas Children's Hospital. And they began to do some research, and they began to make some calls. And they arranged for a flight for Marco and his mom from Mexico to Houston, where he would receive surgery and treatment. All sorts of donations came in to help Marco and his family. He had the surgery, and he returned to his home, where he could now not just walk, but he could run and play with his friends and no longer be seen as an outcast. Now that may not sound quite as dramatic to you as Bartimaeus' story, but here's the thing, it happened. And it happened not too many years ago. And it happened right here in Texas. Because those success stories become almost commonplace in our world today. Elsa said it in the children's message, we just need to look around us and see them. Bartimaeus was blind, but now he could see. Little Marco could not walk, but now he can. God is still in the business of miracles. He uses doctors and nurses and Christian people who see others in distress and help them get the care that they need. You all may not be aware of this, but in the United Methodist Church, we have a system called apportionments, where a portion of every dollar we put into the offering plate goes to mission work around the world. So we're helping other people in all sorts of ways. United Methodist Committee on Relief is already in the Carolinas helping folks there after the hurricane. I wonder if it's not the significance of this story. The most important part of this story is at the end, when Luke writes, "At once he was able to see, and he began to follow Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God too." After this blind beggar received his sight, he became a follower of Jesus. No longer was he a beggar sitting beside the road. Now he was a follower of Jesus. And what that says to me is that he went from being a receiver to being a giver. And you know, there are folks in this community who are sitting by the side of the road crying out to Jesus for mercy. They've been hurt. Their situation may be desperate. There may not seem to be any hope. They thought they could control their lives. They thought they had everything together, but something came along and they're not able to provide for their family. It hasn't worked out the way it was, and they're nearly at their wits' end. And I know that there are other people in this community who have already known what it's like to be a blind beggar sitting beside the road. They know that situation. But by the grace of God, they found healing and help. And they know it was because of Jesus. And now they follow Jesus. And they look around for others in pain so that they can reach out to them and show them the grace that they have received. They've moved from being a receiver to being a giver. And I know, too, that there are some of us who have moved through life somewhat unscathed. Life's been pretty gentle to us so far. We've seen others in pain, but so far our lives have gone along pretty smoothly, and for that we're grateful. And yet we, too, follow Jesus. And because we follow Jesus, we want to make a difference in someone's life. And that's the reason we're here. That's the reason we're involved in church. Because when people work together in the name of Christ, we can do wonders for those who suffer. And what we discover is that in the reaching out to others, we build up resources for when the time comes when we might be sitting along the side of the road crying out. I hope you discover that joy that seeks through pain, that joy that keeps on going. But just as important, I hope that you're actively working to bring joy into other people's pain. That like the blind beggar on the side of the road, we've become followers of Jesus. Like the blind beggar on the side of the road, we've moved from receiving to giving. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.